It is a verse 16 that I leave with you tonight. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. A good description of this verse is the Lord's tools in his workshop. The Lord's tools in his workshop. These are the last three parts of the description of Christ. And they're in the text here, verse 16. There is a description of his hand, and then there is a description of his mouth, and then there is a description of his face or of his countenance. And we could say that this is the workman coming into the churches to do his work. And what does the workman do in his church? What does any workman do when he comes into the office? He shows his face. He shows his face. He's present. His countenance shineth as the sun. So he shows his face. He comes into the workplace. He doesn't work distant or far away. He comes in and his face shines. The boss is here. He shows his face. And then he opens his mouth, because the workman's not dumb. He opens his mouth, and there's a sharp two-edged sword. And what else does the workman do? He uses his hands. And you see his hand here, the working hand, the right hand. And he has his tools. What does he have in his hand? He has stars in his hand. That's what he's working with. He's working with the stars. He uses the stars in the church. We'll see what those stars are in a minute. But it's a poor church that doesn't have a star. A church that doesn't have a star, the Lord's not working in it. The church that doesn't have a star needs to get a star. Needs to pray for a star. Beckon churches need to be praying for a star. But then there's a sword of his mouth. He doesn't work without that, that's for sure. So these are his tools, the workman in the midst of the church, because he's not just in the church there just to stand about. No, he's in the church to do something in all these seven congregations. And this is how he works. And we'll try to think about these things tonight as we have time. The first thing that he notices is the Lord's right hand. His right hand. Now, of course, the Lord has a left hand, but it is the right hand that catches his eye, and it's the right hand that he describes. Now, the reason, of course, why it catches his eye is because there's something in that hand, and it says there are seven stars, and the Lord Jesus is probably displaying them. He's probably holding these stars up and showing them to John. Here, John, see these. See these. So he has these seven stars in his hand. And what those stars are, the Lord himself tells us, because he says there in verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars. Sometimes the Lord interprets the signs, especially when he doesn't want us to make a mistake. He hopes and trusts that we know enough of the Old Testament to know what the signs and symbols mean. But now and again, he won't leave it down to trust and to our information about the Old Testament. Now and again, he just tells us what they are. And he says the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. And each of the churches has an angel. Not one of them is without an angel. Each of the seven churches has an angel. And the Lord says he has these angels in his hand. And each of those angels is later addressed. The Lord doesn't directly address the church. He addresses the angel of the church. And it's the duty of the angel of the church to inform and to deal with the matters in the church through the word, but the angel of each church is addressed. And the angels are probably the ministers of the churches. The basic word of angel means messenger. In fact, the Hebrew word for angel is messenger. So it's the messenger, the messengers of the churches, the angels. So I take it as being representing the teaching elder, the minister, at least the one minister in the congregation, an overseeing, ruling, teaching elder. But our focus is not so much upon the minister. So our focus is not so much on the angels in his hand, but more upon just his hand, what his hand does, and how important his hand is. You notice how it says there in the verse, he had in his right hand. So the important thing is not the stars. Yeah, they're significant, and the Lord uses them as a tool in his hand. But the important thing is not the stars. The important thing is who holds the stars. The important thing is his hand. That's the important thing. The star is nothing, but the hand of the Lord is everything. So it's his hand that we have to keep our eye on. And you see his hand is described. He had in his hand. And then he puts it himself, he describes it himself, the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. You saw them in my right hand, John. So he's not drawing attention so much to the stars, to the fact that they're in my right hand. They're my right hand. And so it's the hand that I would especially draw your attention to tonight. It's a working hand, as we'll see. It's a mighty hand. And there's far more in his hand than just seven stars, of course. You know that, of course, he holds the whole world in his hand. And there's far more in our Lord's hand than just seven stars. But for the encouragement of these seven congregations, the Lord is especially letting them see, I have your minister in my hand. And that's encouraging for them to know, because the church needs to know that their minister is in the hand of the Lord. They're not going to be encouraged to think otherwise. And so the Lord's letting them see that these angels are in his hand. Now, that hand then is the emphasis tonight, and not so much the stars. And John's not looking us to focus on the stars, but on the hand. Now this expression, the right hand of the Lord, like all the other items that I described and we've gone through, we're number 7, 8, and 9 now, but all the other items are from the Old Testament, and there's always echoes of Old Testament scriptures when you read about those items. And it's the same here, the right hand of the Lord. There are echoes of that in the Old Testament. Psalm 118, for example, the expression is found 3 times. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I saw in his right hand, the right hand of the Lord. And of course, all the Old Testament images would come flying into the mind of anyone who knew the Old Testament images concerning the Lord's right hand. But the thing that stands out about this right hand is its kindness and its grace. And I think that's what the Lord is particularly showing his church. Having 7 stars, he's showing it's a kind hand. It's not a rod in his hand. It's not a rod of iron. He has stars. He has light. It's a gracious hand for the churches. It's a kind hand for the churches and for the congregations. He's coming to instruct them. He's coming to bring them light in the midst of their darkness. And so the tools in his hand are marvelous tools of loving kindness. He doesn't give you a minister in his wrath to punish you. He gives you a minister in his kindness and his love to teach you, to guide you, and to instruct you. So this is a kind hand, a gracious hand. In a world of darkness, he brings lights that shine. And we read often about the Lord's hand in the Gospels. And every time, it's a kind hand. Every time, it is a gracious hand. Every time, it was kindness. All was kindness. Whatever he had in his hand or whatever he touched, it was kindness. We read how the sheep are in his hand. What are Christians called? Christians are called the sheep of his hand. The sheep of his hand. That's where he keeps his sheep. He's kind to his sheep. He's gracious to his sheep. And of course, that's where his sheep are. They're in his hand. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They're in my hand. And my hand is a giving hand. It's a gracious hand. It's giving. It's not beating. It's giving. What is it giving? It's giving life. It's not giving ordinary life. It's giving eternal life. It's giving abundant life. And it's giving life that is kept and preserved, eternal. And nobody will pluck them out of my hand. He keeps them. That's a good hand. That's a good hand. That's a gracious hand. That's a keeping hand. That's a kind hand. So you see, there are seven stars in his hand, but there's far more than seven stars in his hand. You're in his hand because you're to call the sheep of his hand. And of course, you should be a star too in the world. You'll not be a star in Hollywood. You'll not be the world's stars, but you should be the Lord's stars. And you should be shining for him. And if you're in his hand, that's what you will be doing. You'll be shining for him in his hand. So it's a good hand, kind hand, gracious hand. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize tonight. So when he comes into the churches to do a work, it's a work in grace. It's a work in kindness. It's a work in goodness. It's the shepherd's hand. Now, as you study the Gospels, you will know that many things went into the Lord's hand. And things that men saw and got in the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. So I want you to just think about some of the things that were in his hand and what he used and how he used the things in his hands. You remember how he come across a blind man whenever he was coming out of the temple one time. And the man was blind from his birth. And as I've told you in the past, very few people are born blind. Blindness develops through disease and infection. But if you're born blind, the main reason for being born blind, all the eye experts will tell you, the main reason for being born blind is because you have no eyes, or else the optic nerve is totally severed from the brain to the eye. So it's a catastrophic thing. And nobody can fix it. Nobody can fix it. No eye expert can fix someone who's born blind. It's catastrophic. And so this man was born blind. And it never was heard before that a man who was born blind was made to see. But one day Jesus passed by and he saw this man. And there were hundreds of people there who were blind and all kinds of diseases. But this man was born blind and he picked him out of all the rest. And you remember how he made clay and he got clay in his hand. He didn't use his left hand. He used his right hand. And he probably mixed them together in both his hands and divided it up. So he had two bits of clay in his hands, a left hand and a right hand. He put spittle, of course, as well. And he made the clay and the spittle in his hand. The dust of the ground and the spittle that came from the breath of his body. And he mixed the two of them together, just like creation. And he put them in the eye sockets of that blind man, and he made him eyes. That's what was in the Lord's hand. And he was using the tools of the dirt and the spittle to do that. Making the workman with the blind man. But those hands were not only powerful. Yes, we know they're powerful, a mighty right hand. But that's not all about the Lord's hands. They're kind. They were hands that never done anybody any harm. Only good. So the Lord's hands are kind. And he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the blind man told the story. He said, I did. I went and washed in the pool of Siloam and I came seeing. So those were gracious, kind hands. And then you remember the multitude. How he had compassion on the multitude. He said, they've been with me 3 days now. I can't send them away home in that heat, famished. And he says, what have you got? There's nothing here, only 5 loaves, Lord. Give them to me. And so he took the bread. There's those hands again. Those hands again. He took the bread, and with his hands, he broke it. He gave thanks, of course, to his Father, and then he distributed it to the disciples. And it multiplied. Not only did he have creating hands, he had multiplying hands. He could multiply things. And he did it in compassion. He had compassion on the multitude. And he fed them. He used his hands to feed them. That's the kind of hands he comes into this church with. When he has his angels in his hand. Then you remember the Lord's Supper. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body. I give it for you. He took the cup. He's holding the cup in his hands. He says, this is my blood shed for you. They're sacrificial hands. Kind. His hands work for the church. His hands are full of compassion for the congregations. Tender and pitiful are the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you remember the mother-in-law of Peter. How it says he came and he took her by the hand. He was right-handed. And he's a mighty right hand. And he took her by the hand and he took her right hand. The right hand of fellowship. And you know what he took? You know what that kind hand took? He didn't just take her hand. You know what that kind hand took? That kind hand took the disease out. That's what it took. It took the disease out. Now we have to minister to the sick. And all we can do is hold the hand. And we trust it gives some comfort. And we're trying to give our sympathy. But we can't take the disease out. No. But you see, when the Lord took her hand, she got up and she went and made the dinner. Straight away. Because he took the disease out. Kind hand. He took our diseases. Kind hand of our Lord Jesus. Don't you want to hold that hand? Don't you want to take that hand all the time and never let that hand go? That wonderful, wonderful, gracious hand of our Lord Jesus. So he took our diseases away. And then you remember the dead damsel. He took her by the hand too. And he said, I say unto thee, arise. He took her death away. She was dead. But he took her death away. Took it away when he took her hand. And she had life and she lived again. Because he took it away. Every time the Lord Jesus takes our hand, he takes something away from us that's bad. You know what else that hand took away? Took away our sins. Took away our sins. He put his hand on us and he took away our sins. He doesn't just impart health and life unless he takes away the disease and the death. He has to take them away first. You can't impart health until you take away the virus or take away the thing that's doing the damage. You have to take that away first. And he can't impart life to us until he takes away the sin. The sin, he has to take it away. And he himself took away our sins. He took our sins. His hands were pierced, weren't they? Because those hands took our sins, and those hands had to be pierced. He was wounded for our transgressions. He gave his hands to the cross for our sins. He bore them away, and he took them, and he cast them. He cast them behind God's back, and he cast them into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Those good and gracious and kind hands. Oh, that's what he has for the church. That's what he doesn't come in to beat you up. He comes kindly. You know, in the temple sacrifices, the transgressor had to lay his hand on the sacrifice, symbolizing the transfer of sin to the sacrifice. But in reality, we can't transfer our sin to the sacrifice. The reality is the sacrifice has to come and take our sin and transfer it to himself. And that's what really happened. He bears the sin of the world. He took it. Don't you love his hands? And so, you see that his hands are gracious and kind. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. This is how the psalmist put it. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Now, that's what he associated with the hand of God, not just power. Thy right hand has holden me up. Yes, the power's in that. But why? Why would he do that? It's because of his love and kindness. Thy gentleness has made me great. Holding me up there, lifting me up, making me great above my enemies. It's your kindness, Lord. The gentle hands of Jesus. And so he has his ministers in that hand. And every minister's glad of that. Glad it's a gentle hand. And so you'll notice there's not a rod in it in the midst of the church. Now, there once was a rod in the hand of Jesus. Did you know that? Do you remember whenever they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him and they put a crown of thorns on his head? They put in his right hand a rod. That's what the wicked put in his hand, a rod. They mocked his kingship and they gave him a rod. But the Lord doesn't have a rod. The rod was put in his hand by force. And the rod was put into his hand by mockery. And he's now reigning at the right hand of the Father. And when he comes to visit the church, he doesn't come with a rod. He comes with the stars. So there's no rod, but stars for the churches. Now he's going to go out into the nations later on in the book of Revelation. Yes, he's going to go out among the heathen and the wicked. And he'll have a rod, but not in his church. Now, send thou the rod of thy strength out of Zion. It goes out of Zion, the rod. Not in Zion, it goes out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. The rod is for the ungodly, outside the church. Now, in the church, the Lord rules not by a rod, but by his stars. The Lord has something in his hand for each church, and it is an angel, not a reed. And the gospel ministry is Christ's gift to the church, and the Christian ministry is his kindness to his flock. And the rulers who bring to them the word. The stars of light for night. Why did the Lord make the stars? To rule the night. And he has these stars and he brings them into the church to rule in the night of this world,
in the midst of his people.
So ministers are rulers, stars in his hand. Remember how it says about there shall come out a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It's a symbol of rule. And it says in the book of Daniel, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. These stars are the brightness causing men and women to be converted, turning men and women to righteousness in the darkness of this age. So the gospel ministry is a gift of Christ. The gospel ministry is the property of Christ. And ministers are tools of Christ to rule in his church. And he honors the gospel ministry. He uses the gospel ministry in purifying his congregation. He uses the angels of his hand in their sanctification and in his work in his sanctuary. These are the things in his hands. And he communicates through them onto the flock. So the gospel ministry is in the place of power. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord. Show me thy loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand. And it's a working hand. How does the Lord work in the church? He works through the pulpit. He works through the preaching of the word. That's how he works. He works through the ministry. And he works through ministers who are in his hand. Now, I know there are people who say they're ministers and they're not in the Lord's hands. You know, they're meteorites. Phew, flying around here and there and yonder. But these aren't meteorites. These are stars that are established in his hand. They don't move about. You know, one part of doctrine, another part of doctrine, and whatever. No, they're established in his hand. They're grounded and settled in the truth, and to know it and to proclaim it. The stars of his hand. And so, the gospel ministry does not work apart from the word of his mouth and the power of his hand. And so you see, that kind hand is working among us, and it's using the ministry in the disciplining of us, in the teaching of us, in the leading of us into the ways of God and of holiness, and in the conversion of sinners to the faith of the gospel. But you will notice that the angel is not the only tool. Now, what does the angel do? Does he just come and, you know, give his own philosophy and his own thoughts? No, 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 no. The angel has to work not only with the Lord's hand, but also in tandem with his mouth. There's not just the angel of his hand. There's the sword, the two-edged sword of his mouth. Both of them come together. The tool of his mouth and the tool of his hand, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and an ordained gospel ministry. They come together and they work in tandem. And no minister of the gospel works apart from the word. And he only uses the word, and he works in harmony and in tandem with the scriptures of truth. And so the hand of the head and the mouth of the head work together, and in the hand is the angel, and in the mouth is the Holy Scriptures, the sword the two-edged sword of the Spirit. Out of his mouth went the two-edged sword. That's his word. That's what he uses in his church. Yes, sometimes it cuts the people of God. Sometimes it gets down into the marrow of the very bone. It's hard sometimes, the conviction of sin. But it's in kindness. It's in grace. The surgical procedure of the Word of God to the people of God to cut away the cancer of the soul. The kind hand, the sword of his mouth, the angel of his hand, working in harmony, the workman in his workshop with his tools. Oh, may we be a workshop of our Lord Jesus. And may this ministry be a ministry in his hand. And may the sword of the Spirit be evident among us in power. But there must also be something else in this workshop. Because it says in our text, in his right hand, seven stars. Out of his mouth, a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance, or his face, was as the sun shineth in his strength. Brethren and sisters, we need something else. We need the Lord's face to shine on us. You can have an angel, and you can have the Bible, but you need the Lord's face. You need the shining of his countenance. You need the power of his Spirit. You need the radiance and warmth of his supreme deity. You need the fullness and power of the Holy Ghost radiating from the pulpit and radiating into the hearts and minds of the people. You need the light of his countenance to shine upon us, and we shall be turned. You need the heartburn that comes with that countenance. You need the transforming power. Yes, we have the mirror darkly in the Holy Scriptures. Yes, we have someone to bring us to the text. But we need the transforming power of deity, the Holy Ghost. It only comes through the glory of his face. It's only when you see the glory of his face that you are changed from glory to glory. And so these three tools must work together in the workshop if our Lord comes among us. And so we have the ministry. We have the Scriptures. But it is all nothing if we do not have the Lord's face. So we need his hand, we need his mouth, and we need his face. We need the ministry, we need the Bible, and we need the radiance of his Holy Spirit. And when we have them, we shall be a changed church, changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is why he comes amongst the seven churches. In his kindness and grace, in his love and in his goodness to us. Let us pray.